Well, thank you all. Oh, perfect. Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be with you guys this morning. And I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm already so filled up by what Ashley was teaching this morning. So many cool ways to look at this passage that maybe you're really familiar with, right? So exciting to see how God is already digging in. And I'm hoping what we're going to talk about today, fighting discouragement, coming up with a real personalized plan to battle against discouragement, will be a really great tool for you in your toolbox as you think about, all right, how do I find rest and victory, the theme of today, in all these different places God has called me. So let's start. I want to pray just to start us with that, and then we'll dig in together. So let's just pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you have created each of us uniquely. You have called each of us specifically, both to know you, Lord God, and to follow you. God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to be here today, for the privilege of being able to sit quietly to hear from you as we open your word. And God, we thank you that we know that you'll accomplish your purposes for us today, Lord. So we come expectant to hear from you. We come asking, Lord, that you would allow us to hear what you have specifically for us, Lord, and that today as we walk out, we would walk out feeling not just like we've got some more knowledge today, Lord, but that we have been transformed from the inside out, Lord God, and that you are equipping us through your word and through your spirit to go out and claim the victory that you have already planned for us. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, and that all of our confidence is rooted in your goodness and in your glory, and that you're always bringing things about for your glory, which is for our good. We thank you, Lord, that you work in perfect concert in those two things. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, one of the most common questions, y'all come on in and grab a seat. One of the most common questions that I feel like people ask when they first meet someone, when they're first getting to know somebody, is, what do you do, right? Like, what do you do for a living? So I kind of want us to start getting to know each other a little bit by saying, all right, what do we do? And since I've got the microphone, I'm going to ask you first, okay? So y'all just all together, you can just say, if you got one word answer, what do you do? What do you do outside of being here? Y'all can just say it all at one time. It doesn't matter. Like, bookkeeping. I hear bookkeeping. Stay at home, mom. Yeah. You're like, I'm a cook. Yeah, you're like all the things Ashley said, right? That was your list. That was your list. I hear you. I hear you. All right. Anybody in here, like in the education field? Anybody, maybe a teacher? You were a teacher, something like that. I saw a few hands. All right. How about business? Any of y'all come from the business field, currently in the business field? Whoever was a bookkeeper, that applies to you? Yep. Accountant? Yes. All right. You've just come through your busy season. Congratulations. You made it through. You made it through. How about military? Anybody come from military? Yes. Thank you for serving. What about ministry? Anybody in the ministry world? For sure. How about medical? Anybody coming from the medical field? Maybe you're a doctor, you're a nurse. Yes. Yes. Shion? Awesome. All right. Well, medical people, I like to kind of resonate with you. When people say to me, what do you do? I like to say, well, I keep people alive, but I'm not a doctor or a nurse. As Julie told you guys, I am a full-time mom. I'm a full-time parent, right? Not a stay-at-home mom. I did have that written, but you know, really, if we're honest, when it comes to sports and social activities in school, there is really not a whole lot of stay-at-home mom in that whole stay-at-home mom deal, right? Not a lot of staying at home. But y'all, parenting is not the only thing I do. I'm also a wife. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a friend. I'm a volunteer at my kids' school. I lead a local ministry. So needless to say, probably like many of you, my plate is really full. And just like a full plate of food can leave us feeling kind of sick to our stomach if we like shove that all in, sometimes a full schedule can leave us feeling sick and tired, right? Weary and worn out, maybe even disheartened, discouraged. And when we feel that way, I kind of feel like our first response is like when our pants don't fit, right? And we can't get that button. What do? We're like, oh man, I got to go on a diet. I got to stop eating all this stuff, right? So when our schedules feel so full, when our plates feel so full, often we're tempted to kind of go on a scheduled diet, right? To just start throwing things out. And that's not always a bad idea. We need sometimes to really look and say, what are the key things here? But what about when you look at your plate and all the things on that full plate are things that God has intentionally placed there? How do we handle discouragement? How do we handle those feelings of weariness when they're coming in the unique places that God has called us to? And y'all, that's really what we're going to be talking about today in our breakout session. How do we overcome discouragement and trust that God provides and He equips us with all we need to start and finish the unique work that He's calling us to do? And we're going to really explore this idea today through the story of Nehemiah. If you're not familiar with Nehemiah, his story is actually found in the Old Testament. It's in the book called, shocker, Nehemiah, all right? Now, Nehemiah, he was a Jew. Just to give you a little backstory here. He was a Jew, but when we meet him, he's actually not living in Israel. About 70 years before Nehemiah comes on the scene, Israel had fallen to Babylon. God's chosen people had been exiled. They had basically been thrown out of that promised land. But Babylon's reign, it was short-lived. And so at this point in history, when we meet Nehemiah, Persia has actually risen to the top. And under the Persian rule, the Israelites, they were slowly going back home. They were slowly going back to Israel. But Nehemiah, he was one of the last to go. And when we meet him in Nehemiah chapter 1, he's actually living in Susa, which is the capital city of Persia, and he's serving as the cupbearer to the reigning king of Persia, whose name was Artaxerxes. It's a mouthful. But while he's far from home, what we're going to see is Nehemiah, his heart is stirring for home. God is stirring up a desire in his heart. But it's not just a desire to return home. God is stirring up a desire in Nehemiah's heart to begin rebuilding his homeland, to begin rebuilding Israel. And that's going to be a call that's going to require Nehemiah to both overcome and persevere through discouragement. So we're going to really draw from him today. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and you can open up to Nehemiah 1. We'll pop up some of the verses here too. So if you don't have that easy access, no worries, but you can open up your Bible to that, or you can navigate on your phone, whatever you like to use. But let's begin by starting right there. In verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and in disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Now, as much as we would like God to do this, God does not usually send us recruitment emails, right? He doesn't like post on the internet a now hiring sign. So God calls us into his kingdom through the desires of our hearts. He starts pricking our hearts with the concerns of his kingdom. And that's what we see happening here. Notice Nehemiah heard about this and he didn't just say, well, that's too bad. When he heard about the state of Jerusalem, he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. His heart responded to a need, and then he submitted that response to God. Now, I know for me, in my personal life, probably one of the greatest and most challenging calls of my life began in a very similar way. In 2012, I heard a story at church one week about an orphanage in China. It was filled with children who were abandoned because of really minor special needs, things that, you know, given American medical care and a loving family, they'd just be no big deal, right? But for some reason, that story really just pricked my heart. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was one of those things like a tape that just keeps replaying and replaying and replaying in your in my head. So finally, after kind of like listening to this continuing replaying, I talked to my husband about it. I was like, hey, do you remember that story we heard? And he was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, do you think about it a lot? And he was like, I mean, I think about it more than I think about a lot of things that we hear, you know? So we prayed. We said, God, what does this mean? Why do we keep hearing this story playing over and over again in our hearts? What are you asking us to do about it? Now, I think we both knew the answer then. Looking back, I think if we're really honest, we knew God's answer then, what he was asking. But it did take us a couple months of prayer and probably some nearly audible words from God before we admitted to ourselves that God was calling us to something we had never planned for our lives. God was calling us to adoption. And I'll confess that at that point, I was only willing to say to God, okay, I'm going to put this on the table. I'll submit the application, and then we'll just see where you take it from here. And if you change your mind about this whole thing, I'm cool with that. That's okay. That's all right. So y'all, Nehemiah, what we're seeing is he approached his call the same way. God had given him a broken heart for the broken walls of Jerusalem, and he knew God was calling him to do something about it. So he took the first step, and he trusted God to open the doors if he wanted him to take the next step. And for every step Nehemiah took in faith, God kept opening a door for him to take the next step. In chapter 2 of Nehemiah, there's a, really just a testimony to how God used this pagan king, Artaxerxes, to accomplish his eternal purposes for his people. When Nehemiah went to the king and kind of told him about what was on his mind, not only did the king say, hey, you can go, but the king basically, he gave him these letters that guaranteed his safe passage across more than 900 miles of hostile and dangerous territory, and it also gave him access to the king's forest for resources to do the work. So we see Nehemiah here, he leaves Susa, he travels for about 3 months, and when he arrives in Jerusalem, he goes out and he inspects the walls and he sees things are as bad as he had been told. The walls were torn down, the gates were burned, this great city of his ancestors, it's in complete ruins, it's disgraced, it's exposed. But Nehemiah took what he saw as a confirmation, as an affirmation, not as a discouragement. What he saw that day affirmed what God had told him to do. So Nehemiah, he's really just a guy with nothing more than a passion and a royal hall pass. He approaches the Jewish leadership and he says, hey guys, we got to do something here. And God opened another door. Not only did the leadership say, okay, let's get started today, the entire community joined in. Chapter 3 of Nehemiah, it's just a list, section by section, of all the people who came alongside Nehemiah to help him build the wall. So in these first few chapters of Nehemiah, we see God confirmed his call by doing two things. He opened Nehemiah's heart, and then he opened doors for Nehemiah to pursue that call. And y'all, he does that for us too in the specific places he's calling us. The first truth I kind of want us to anchor on today is God confirms his call by opening both our hearts and doors of opportunity. And I just want to say, isn't it good that God kind of has a system of checks and balances for us? Because if we're honest, our hearts, they kind of desire a lot of things that probably actually aren't in line with God's will, right? And there are a lot of doors that open our in our lives that are probably not the ones that God wants us to walk through. But when God gives us both a desire to follow his will, and that doesn't mean that there's not a healthy dose of fear mixed in with that, and he gives us the opportunity, we can confidently move forward, trusting that he's calling us to that area. Desire with closed door after closed door after closed door, that's not an invitation to be like, well, I just need to go around God, make this happen, figure it out, right? An opportunity without desire, that's a wet blanket. It's really hard to keep that fire burning. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Of course, when I was a teenager, I thought that meant, well, God gives us whatever we want as long as we are just loving him, which we all know that's not true, right? But what it really means is when we're pursuing God and his plans for us, we end up wanting his plans for us. His desires become our desires, even if they push us outside of our comfort zones. All right, so I want y'all to get out your little notebook, or if you've got something else you've been, you know, taking your notes on today, I want y'all to pull that out, because we're going to work together this morning to develop our own battle plan for overcoming discouragement. So we're going to take some pauses throughout our time together to really take time to develop that. And the first step of that is that we do have to consider our personal calls, because I'll tell you, the first thing we need to do and facing and battling discouragement is have confidence in the call that God has called, that God has put on our life. It's that first step in the battle of discouragement. So I want us to take a few minutes together today to answer a couple questions to help us confirm God's call in our life. The first one is, what's my heart's desire? Where is God giving you a passion? What concern is God stirring in your heart? And then think, all right, well, what doors is he opening? What doors is he shutting? Where has he already strategically placed me? If we have children, we know we are called to motherhood, right? There are some things we are called to by being placed there logistically as well. How about confirmations? What confirmations have you seen? Nehemiah got that confirmation when he showed up in Jerusalem and everything was the mess that he was expecting to find, right? So what has God given you the opportunity to see or to experience that has increased your desire, that has confirmed God's calling you to step in there? I'm going to give y'all a few minutes to kind of just sit on that. So maybe we'll take about 3 minutes for y'all just to kind of prayerfully consider these questions and just jot down some notes there. Kind of step one, how is God confirming his call on my life? What is he calling me to? So I'll keep an eye on the clock and I'll call y'all back in just a couple minutes and we'll go on to our next step. All right. So I know you're kind of thinking, wait. I think I came to the wrong discussion, wrong breakout group, right? You're like, I thought this was on discouragement. Hold on. Why are we talking about confirming your call? Well, remember, overcoming discouragement begins with confirmation, clarity, confidence in the call that God has placed on your life. This is a picture of my family from a couple weeks ago from spring break. So you can see here that God continued to open the doors for his plan for adoption for our family. This is Ruby right here, this little crazy nugget down there in the bottom corner. She's been home about 9 years now, and while it has been a journey full of joy and fun, I would just be lying straight to your face if I said that there has not been seasons of discouragement. Plenty of times when I have said, why is this so hard? Why did I do this? The only answer that brings me peace in those moments is because God told me to. So that's why confirming our call is so important. It's why having confidence that where we are is where God has uniquely called us makes such a big difference in the fight against discouragement. We need to mark those moments when God opened our hearts and those moments when he opened doors of opportunity so that when things get tough, we can go back and remember, God started this and God will finish this. All right, but we know discouragement does not always die easily. So even as God was opening Nehemiah's heart and opening doors for Nehemiah, opposition to his call was mounting. There were three primary enemies to the rebuilding of Jerusalem's wall: Sanballat, that's a fun name, Tobiah, and Geshem. These guys were all officials of the nations that neighbored Israel, and they were not happy when they heard that someone was coming in to kind of help strengthen this underdog nation that they had gotten kind of used to pushing around. So they began their assault on Nehemiah by mocking his mission. Then they start accusing him of trying to revolt against the king of Persia, who was still kind of in charge and had authority over them. Then when Nehemiah was halfway through the project, when the wall was halfway built, they moved to straightforward threats. In verse 8 of chapter 4, Nehemiah says, they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. So Nehemiah responds with wisdom and with action. He prays and he asks for God's help and he posts guards to be around the wall, around the clock. But the mockery, the threats, the accusations had taken their toll. The builders were discouraged. Let's pick up in verse 10 of chapter 4. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them, and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Now, in these verses, I think we see the two primary sources of discouragement: internal fatigue and external threat. Internal fatigue and external threat. So internal fatigue, that's exactly what it sounds like, right? Y'all, the people, they were tired. They were like, we have worked day and night, and this is a really hard job. The work is only half done. Y'all, we get tired. We can be super confident in our call. We can know without a shadow of a doubt that's where God has placed us. But weariness, it's a buzzkill, right? But so is fear. That's that external threat that presses in. And that was the threat that was pushing in against Nehemiah, and it was coming from multiple directions. First, it came from the enemy themselves. Scripture tells us these three opposition ringleaders, they mocked, they accused, they threatened Nehemiah and his team. And y'all, these are the same tactics our enemy uses against us. Satan, he mocks us by making the wisdom of God look foolish, by shading it with the wisdom of the world. Revelation 12:10 tells us that he accuses us day and night before God, and he threatens us outright by planting those fears in our hearts, those what if questions that sometimes paralyze us from moving forward. These are the ways that the enemy threatens us, he threatens us directly, but he also threatens us indirectly with doubt. Nehemiah's doubt came also from the words of his friends, right? Those other Jews who just kept saying over and over again, wherever you go, they're coming after you. But doubt doesn't always come from the outside. It also comes from inside of us. Why did I do this? Did I hear God right? Has God forgotten and abandoned me here? I want us to pause here again to continue developing our plan and really evaluate, okay, where am I susceptible to attack? We've taken that minute to consider and confirm our call. Now I want us to identify the primary source of our discouragement. Is it internal fatigue? Is it external threat? Maybe it's a combination of both. So I want y'all to take a couple minutes to consider these questions. First, what is that greatest source of discouragement? Is it internal fatigue? Is it external threat? What does it look like when I'm working in my own strength? Because really, y'all, that's what fatigue is. It's not just needing a good night's sleep, although that can make a difference. Fatigue that discourages us is better described as weariness. Weariness of spirit that comes when we have been depending on ourselves instead of depending on God. For me, working in my own strength, it primarily looks like two things. It means not trusting God's boundaries when it comes to my time, and not trusting his boundaries when it comes to the scope, like maybe making this thing bigger than it needed to be, right? And it often looks like jumping in before consulting God. I don't know if you guys do that too. And then maybe fear, what does that look like? That external threat that slows us down. We all can have specific fears and doubts that we're struggling with. Is the world's version of truth causing you to doubt what God says is true? Are you doubting yourself, wondering, I mean, would God use somebody like me? Can God use somebody like me? Or maybe you're just afraid of the cost. What will I have to sacrifice to do this? What do I stand to lose if I follow God in the way he's leading? So I want y'all to take a couple minutes and just prayerfully and honestly consider these questions and figure out, where is discouragement getting a foothold in my life? So take a couple minutes and just kind of jot down your thoughts, what God brings up there. All right, so maybe after sitting with these questions, you're kind of like, well, now I really am discouraged. I am tired. I do have a lot to be afraid of. So what do we do now, right? What do we do when kind of the enemy starts pressing against that call that God has confirmed for us? When opposition starts to rise and discouragement starts to descend? Well, I think we need to do what Nehemiah did. So let's look at his response. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points in the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. Now in these verses, I think Nehemiah gives us four strategic steps to fight discouragement. The first one is we've got to identify the weak points in our wall. What are those sources of discouragement, right? Where does the internal fatigue come from? Where am I struggling with fear or doubt? Secondly, we've got to call in the reinforcements, and that's people and it's weapons, right? As a community of believers, we're called to come alongside each other, to hold each other up. But we're not holding each other up with spears and swords like the people in Nehemiah's day. We have spiritual weapons. We're holding each other up with prayer, and we're holding each other up with God's word, pointing each other back to God, who's the one who's actually fighting and winning the battle. And that's the third step. We have to remember God. We have to remember who God is. God's, Nehemiah said to the people, he said, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Our circumstances change, but God does not. And he is sovereign over our circumstances. The same God who called us to be moms, who called us to be wives, who called us to be in our places of employment or ministry, he is the same God who's controlling the circumstances and ultimately using those circumstances to lead us to the finish that he's already planned. So remembering God's attributes, remembering his promises, remembering his abiding presence is with us. Well, that renews our courage, and it enables us to persevere. And then finally, we've got to reclaim the mission. The final step to overcoming discouragement is reclaiming the mission. Nehemiah, he reminded the builders what they were working for. He reminded them, you're working for your children, your brothers, your wives, for your home. They were fighting for the future of their people. So y'all, what's the big picture behind the role that God has given us? And do we believe this second big truth I want y'all to take away today, which is God equips us in our call with his abiding presence and his inexhaustible resources. God equips us in our call with his abiding presence and his inexhaustible resources. So we're gonna keep developing our battle plan together now, and we're gonna take these things one at a time so you can just kind of jot down your thoughts as we walk through them. And I know they've given y'all some time to just sit and be still. So if God is stirring you in one of these areas, I encourage you, take some more time after our breakout session to continue thinking on it. But let's talk first about what are our weak points. We've gotta identify our weak points. So think about yourself. Where do you begin to struggle? When does discouragement seem to set in? What contributes to your fears? Ashley brought some of them up this morning, right? Comparison, that contributes to my fear. When I get online on social media and I see what everybody else is doing, and man, they look like they're doing it so much better than me. And I think, man, I'm not doing enough. I'm not going to get to where they've gotten, or my kids aren't going to get to where those kids have gotten. And I get that fear going, right? It's that comparison. It's guilt. Where do you experience weariness the most? Are there seasons of your year? Maybe it's holidays. Maybe it's end of school. Maybe it's end of the fiscal year. I don't know what it is for you. But where do you know weariness always seems to set in? What are your weak points? Secondly, we got to consider, all right, well, how can I prepare my reinforcements? Who are my people, right? And have I invited them in by honestly sharing with them about God's calling on our life and asking them to come alongside us in it? Are we battle ready? Are we keeping our people close? And are we keeping our weapons sharp? Are we being intentional in our prayer life, talking to God consistently, bringing the concerns of our heart before Him? This is what I'm worried about. This is where I feel unsure. Are we spending time in His Word regularly, trusting God that His Spirit will illuminate Scripture so that we're encouraged, so that we're equipped? Where do you need to reprioritize so that using your spiritual weapons, it's not an afterthought. It's like second nature. It's where you go first. We also need to consider, what do I know is true about God? That's that remembering God piece. And this includes claiming His character and claiming His promises. God's character, we say that's like His attributes, His characteristics. Things like His sovereignty, that He's in control. Things like His power, that He is able to provide whatever we need. His goodness, that He's not just able, but He's willing to provide it. That He's eternal. He knows the end result, and He can get us there. And then what promises from His Word do we need to speak over our call, that we need to remember in those seasons of discouragement? I know it can be when you think, all right, well, how do I find a promise to hang on to in my specific thing? And it seems like I got to find it in a needle in a haystack, right? But really, y'all, take whatever it is you're struggling with and think about, okay, what's the opposite of that? If I'm fearful, if I'm struggling with fear, well, faith is the opposite of that, right? And then in the back of your Bible, you have this handy dandy thing called the concordance. Y'all, it is the greatest tool. Look up faith. See what verses it takes you to, and you will just find a treasure trove of promises that you can claim there. So think, what am I struggling with? What's causing my discouragement? What's the opposite of that? And then go to your Bible looking for those promises. All right, and then finally, we've got to reclaim the mission. And that's that asking that question, what's the eternal purpose of my specific call? What's the big picture? It's easy for us to get lost in the weeds, right? To lose focus on the destination that God designed and make the itty bitty nitty gritty details the main thing. Mamas, our eternal purpose in raising our kids is not for them to be straight A, perfectly behaved children. Our eternal purpose is to disciple their hearts to know, love, and follow Jesus. Ministry leaders, our eternal purpose isn't to fulfill quotas or to fill rooms, but to speak truth and to love people. What is the eternal purpose of your call? All right, so Nehemiah's battle with discouragement, it didn't end in chapter 4, I wish I could tell you, and then it was done, right? Even though he was really proactive against guarding against it, he used these great tools. God actually, in chapter 5, God adds to his plate. God calls him to not just rebuild the wall, but also to defend his countrymen from unfair taxation, from extortion by other people in the land. And his enemies, they just kept on coming back. They just kept on coming for him. They tried to distract him. They tried to intimidate him. They tried to trap him. But Nehemiah kept his head in the game, and he stayed the course by praying and asking God to strengthen his hands. And spoiler alert, if you haven't ever read the whole story of Nehemiah, he does finish the wall, and he does it in 52 days. But when it was over, after that almost 2 months, it wasn't Nehemiah that everybody was talking about. It was Nehemiah's God that everyone was talking about. In chapter 6, verse 16, Nehemiah tells us that when all of Israel's enemies and the neighboring nations heard about the wall, they were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realized the work had been done with the help of God. And y'all, that's our last big truth I want y'all to take away today, is that God faithfully completes his call for our good and for his glory. Y'all, that's not only our motivation for persevering through discouragement, it's our guarantee, because God always gets the glory, that no matter what obstacles we face, we will succeed. Because for the believer, success isn't about a finish line. For the believer, success is about faithfulness. It's not about accolades, it's about obedience. It's not about what we accomplish. It's about what God accomplishes in us and what God accomplishes through us. So I hope this morning has kind of just given you a fresh little tool in your toolbox to fight discouragement, to know and feel confident in your call, and just to remember, okay, it is God that is doing this work, and he will complete what he starts in me. So let me pray for y'all, and I'll get y'all to lunch. So thank y'all, and I'll hang out if anybody has any questions or anything like that. So, but thanks for coming and sharing your morning with me. Oh, thanks. Y'all are sweet. Well, we'll pray real quick, and then I'll get y'all out. God, we thank you that our confidence doesn't come from ourselves, from our strength, Lord. It doesn't come because of even the results that we see immediately. Our confidence comes from who you are, your character, and your promises, and that you are the one who has set the course of all of the world in motion. You hold it together, Lord, and you will accomplish your eternal purposes. God, we thank you that you've included us in that mission. Give us confidence to say yes to your call. And Lord, give us just reminders when we face discouragement that you are trustworthy. No matter what comes before us, you are trustworthy to see us through to the finish. In your name we pray. Amen. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day.